Hello and welcome back to the Chinese Medicine Podcast, or welcome to the podcast. This is an episode that I'm making specifically for listeners who listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. There's no video with this, as you can see if you're on Spotify. This is just an audio only one to help you navigate where should you go in the podcast, how to make the most use of this. To say thank you firstly for coming here, and I really appreciate your support. I'm going to give you a little bit of background about myself, why I did this podcast, and how you can get the most out of it and navigate the different episodes to help you. It's really growing, and I've just jumped on Spotify stats and I've realized there's lots of followers there, and I really appreciate people's feedback, but I don't really get much feedback through the Spotify system as I do with YouTube. So let me just tell you a little bit about who the podcast's for, and then I'll tell you about myself and why I'm doing this and really why you should listen to me. So firstly, I don't really start each episode with a big rigmarole about me and why you should listen and who it's all for and all that. I probably used to do that a little bit more commonly on YouTube when I first started it. But I find people come to YouTube particularly for, okay, I want an answer to something. I want to know this thing. And so I don't spend a lot of time hoo-haring about that, and I find that stuff boring, and I end up, and when I listen to podcasts myself, I end up just skipping through that ball dust. So you don't really get, hopefully, not too much of that ball dust on this podcast. So Chinese Medicine Podcast is designed to help patients of Chinese medicine practitioners. You might be having acupuncture, having Chinese herbs, or be like an enthusiast learner. You might maybe want to study it someday yourself, or maybe even be in first year, second year Chinese medicine school. Or even be a practitioner yourself. But for the most part, the podcast is for people who are patients of Chinese medicine practitioners. And you've had a diagnosis, like someone said, oh, you've got dampness, or you have, you've got chi stagnation, or they've given you some advice like, oh, you should eat more cooked foods. And what I used to find is that there would be kind of this arbitrary advice given, especially from when I was studying. There was a lot of practitioners that I had seen or known through my studies who was teachers of mine, and they would just give that arbitrary advice with no explanation about it. And I knew there was an explanation for it, but they just didn't know how to articulate it in a succinct way in the consult. But also there's not enough time in the consult to really give the full understanding, and not every patient wants that in the consult. So if you're here and that's what you want, this is what you're going to get. So hopefully that'll be something of value to you, all right? So this is for people who want to understand what Chinese medicine's about, and then erring into the self-help side of things, or understanding a deeper meaning, so you can make a better decision for yourself about whether you should use Chinese medicine for your healthcare, or how it could possibly help you. There are a myriad of things in Chinese medicine that are self-care related or longevity, and they call this area of Chinese medicine Yang Sheng, which means sort of nourishing life. So we draw a lot of the inspiration from this, and living in accordance with the seasons and those ancient wisdom, things like that comes from the Neijing and other texts after the Neijing, or even Taoist principles from the Tao Te Ching. That kind of stuff falls into this area of looking after yourself and looking after your mental health and your physical health and so forth. So in this episode, I'm going to give you like a little overview of what's in the podcast and how you might be able to navigate that. Before we do that, I'm just going to say thank you so much for your support. If you have given us a review on Spotify or on Apple, really appreciate it. I sometimes didn't even realize that those things were there, actually. And because I primarily, you might have noticed that I started this thing on YouTube, and I kind of do use that as the main way to publish all the episodes. So I, every so often, I think, oh, I better pay attention to you here on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you might be listening to this. I think it goes out to some other audio places as well. So I want to say thank you for your support and open the channels of communication up to you, that you know you can ask a question if that's what you'd like to do. So there's a few ways you can do it. The easiest and the quickest way to get a question answered, or for me to respond in a way, would be to jump on YouTube and just leave a comment. So I do my best. I can't say I answer all the comments, but I do my best to answer the comments. And if you go into any YouTube video, you can see there, I'm not one of those people that doesn't answer any questions or doesn't answer the comments. I might not have an answer for you, but I'll do my best to acknowledge the comment there. And sometimes I have to think long and hard about how to make an episode about that answer or whether I even can do that, but I'll do my best. So please feel free to do that. You can also send an email to ChineseMedicinePodcast@gmail.com. That's ChineseMedicinePodcast, just how it's spelled normally, @gmail.com. And I'd go through questions in there from time to time. I have people that contact me through the podcast that wanted to know about their personal situation. I can't answer people's personal questions on the channel, as in they'll say something like, what herbs should I take for this? Or what treatment should I do for this? You need to phrase the questions in a theoretical way if it is something you want to ask about that. But I also, it's not, this channel is not meant to be a replacement for medicine. And I understand people coming at this area from many different levels. And sometimes it's just because of that lack of understanding of how Chinese medicine is so individualized that the practitioner is really needed in there. So there are some cases where I wish I could give you some better answers. I wish I could give you, stuff, especially I know things, people struggle sometimes financially, and that's a reason why, healthcare can be expensive to see a practitioner and you're looking for other ways to manage things. But it's reckless sometimes for me to give those answers out because there needs to be a consultation because I need the back and forth with the answers. And then if that starts happening in an email scenario, for instance, it's very time consuming for me, and I don't have the time to do that. So there's a few ways to go about that. If you want it, if you're at that point where you're like, I just want my situation answered for me, then you can book a consultation with me, and I do online consultations, and that way we can have a one-on-one chat privately, confidentially, just like I would with my normal patients in person. The only thing we can't do in that is feel your pulse. Like, obviously I can't do that through Zoom. We don't have the technology to do that. Stick my hand through the computer into the other side of the world, but maybe that will eventuate at some point in time. But if we don't have that, failing that, we can go by the questions and answers, and there can be a bit of a chat happening there. And often I can refer people to a herbalist in my lineage. There's a lot of herbalists that practice the ICEAM system of herbs. And that's what I do, the classical Chinese medicine style, which I prefer that over TCM for sure. But there's also many, many styles of acupuncture that are TCM related. And I don't want to bag out other styles of Chinese medicine on this channel either. That's not the purpose of it. But if people are looking for advice, one-on-one advice, that's the way you would kind of go about it. You could send me an email and we can book send me an email to ask to book a consultation, basically, or get that booking link. All that stuff is usually in the show notes of the description of the show. So that's how you can go about it. But if you've got a question just about Chinese medicine, like how does this work? What's all that about? Why, maybe it might be a simple thing like, how much water should I drink a day or something like that? Then not I personally, but how much water should people drink? Try to phrase it more generically. Then we can have, we can definitely make videos and talk about those things. All right. And if you are inclined so to rate us, that really helps, and that's great. So if you're listening on Apple and you can give us a review, tell me what you really think, write a review on Spotify, that is great. So thank you. And if you, if obviously this isn't going to go out to YouTube, but you can also subscribe to us on YouTube. That's awesome as well. So, where do you start with this stuff, and how do you navigate the content that I've got? So firstly, I started this thing on YouTube, and there's a lot of content on YouTube, probably at least four times the amount on YouTube that there is on Spotify. Now I'm doing my best to start uploading things that are evergreen content, that's, things that aren't related to anything specifically about that time period or something, which is pretty much nothing. Uploading those onto Spotify as we speak. So I'm doing my best to upload more episodes that have been published on YouTube in the past, so you can listen to them in the audio format, right? But there's a lot more on YouTube. Now, I have a little playlist on YouTube called Start Here, and that is the most popular episodes for self-care, self-help, especially the things about Chinese diet therapy, dampness, things like that. So what I'm going to do is just go through some of the topics that I've covered either on this on Spotify here or on YouTube, and you can kind of get the idea, get the gist for yourself about where you want to go. So the first part of Chinese medicine self-help is diet therapy, what we call Chinese diet therapy. And that's about keeping your body in balance by one part is to use foods as medicine. And that might be like, oh, what are the properties of pears and what do they do? What are the properties of meat and what does that do? The other side of it is to firstly just get your digestive system in balance and adhere to the basic principles. So things like warm foods, cooked foods, moist foods, you know, as opposed to cold, dry and raw. And that's like the first video I would always get people to start with on it as my advice, like watch that video. It's an old one. It's the one that sort of blew up my channel that made it go viral, I guess, or good. It's the most popular video almost there. So it's called Why Eat Mostly Cooked Foods. And that's a really good introduction to what's Chinese diet therapy all about and how to, like, it's basically advice. Everyone should be doing that. And if you do that, you're setting yourself up for better health. Okay. So that's in the Start Here kind of playlist. If you go on the YouTube channel and you go in there straight away, right. Going alongside with the diet therapy, spleen qi deficiency is kind of what would happen inevitably if your diet wasn't great. And that's a big common diagnosis that people get from TCM practitioners is spleen qi deficiency, and in accompaniment with that, with dampness. And I think the dampness videos got so popular because it's such an elusive subject and it's so commonly given. It's like, oh, what is this weird dampness? What is this dampness? And how do I stop it from happening, right? So there's lots of videos on that kind of topic, okay? So there's those kinds of things. Another area that I'm really interested in is the five element personality types, like that's what I call it. It's part of the five element acupuncture ideology, that philosophy. If you go down the road deeper, like you can get into what they call alchemy, which is like understanding what your elemental type is, understanding that you have all the five elements within you, and then being able to transcend all the elements and become, you know, tap into all of those elements. So there's an interview on my channel with a practitioner called Lita Herman, and she is a five element practitioner, and I think we called it Wu Wei Alchemy and How to Transcend the Five Elements. And her channel is called Inspired Action. Her podcast, she and her colleague have a podcast called Inspired Action, and that's kind of the breakaway to that kind of stuff. So I would recommend that if you're interested in that kind of area of Chinese medicine, go down that rabbit hole and have some fun learning about your personality type. But if you are just wanting to discover your personality type and understand other types, so why would you want to understand other types? Because you might have trouble dealing with people in life, or you might want to deal with people in a better way and understand what would help that person, what would benefit that person. Maybe you've got a relationship that's not going that well, or you want it to go better. You want to understand why do people do what they do. That's why I'm interested in that, and it's really a part of psychology. So you have a lot of different types in psychology. You've got the big five, you've got Myers-Briggs, you've got Enneagram, you've got all these things. In Chinese medicine, they just have these five types. So it is actually a lot simpler to understand them. So that's another little section you can kind of go down into the five element personality types. If you really like listening to me, you just want to have it on the background, I've got some long live streams that I've done in the past where people just randomly ask questions. So you can go back and listen to some of those streams. If you're so inclined, that's another area. Okay. I do podcast interviews with practitioners. So there's another whole section about that. Now, all of those have definitely been uploaded to the Spotify here and the Apple podcast. So you can get those interviews with other practitioners. So we're talking about things that are maybe a special interest area of that practitioner. And they were all done video and audio. So if you listen to this stuff and you think, oh, I'd like to see the video of that. So there's some with about fertility. And like, so I've gone over to Melbourne or Sydney and in Brisbane and interviewed these people live in person. So that it was they're really fun interviews. They're good. There's a couple that are done by Zoom, but for the most part, they're all in-person interviews. And it's really a great way to discover other practitioners. So you might have noticed that I have that interest or that special interest area of classical Chinese medicine. So I've got a few ways that you can kind of find out more about that. Now, I probably should make a little channel thing on the YouTube channel, a little playlist just for that. But I'll do that after this interview, after this episode. So I've got an interview with a practitioner called Colin Campbell, and it's called Discovering Classical Chinese Medicine. So I did that 2 years ago because they were starting a new intake of students in the US through the system that I practice, ICAIM. And he talks about what that is. So if you're a practitioner listening to this, or you're a final year student or something like that, and you're thinking, oh, I really want to do this classical Chinese medicine, how would I get into that? Would it be right for me? I think you listen to those people, you'll know if it's right for you from listening to how they talk about it and what it's all about. Well, that's how I know that I know. And I'm sure that that's, I think you kind of get a gist, you get a sense of what this is, what it's about, and that's, you know, makes it interesting to you. I also did an interview, an interview type of thing where I let two subscribers interview me on the channel, and we talked about classical Chinese medicine, and that was great. And so that's on the channel somewhere. And that also talks about the course, the ICAIM course. I don't get any kickbacks from ICAIM or anything like that. Like, I'm not they're not sponsoring the podcast or anything like that. I only just talk about that because it's what I use, and I've found it to be very useful and helpful. And I also have this desire that Chinese medicine should be better than it is in the world. Like, it should, it's quite a big possibility that if people don't embrace it more, that it can die out, it can lose its effectiveness if people don't practice it, you know, properly or well. So this is a really great system of practice. I think it's so useful and it helps a lot of people. So that's why I kind of, you know, would be happy to, that's why I happily endorse it with no monetary kickback, just so you know. Speaking of monetary kickbacks, we do have one sponsor on the podcast. So if you want to support the podcast, I guess you could say there's two sponsors. I run courses myself for people, and so there's courses available that you can do. The most up-to-date one, the newest one, is called Self-Care with the Five Elements. It's on sale. It's really affordable. It's not a super expensive thing, and it's a great way to kind of understand self-care about yourself, who you are in the five element system, but also what are the things that benefit each element that's within all of us. So what are the wood things that you could do? What are some earth things? What are some metal things, fire things, water things, that kind of stuff. And it's helping you understand things from a psychological perspective, things from a foods, things from acupressure points. Like, there's just so many angles you can come at it to help your self-care. So I would highly recommend that course, and to big up my own self. There you go, I've done it. So that's one sponsor. So that supports what I do, but also the other sponsor is Empirical Health Mushroom Products. So if you use the code Marie, M-A-R-I-E, and you go onto their website, there's a link in the description for a lot of the recent videos there. Just go onto their website. They ship these mushroom products out worldwide. It's a product that I use myself. I've never met a person that's more ethical, I would say, than Simon Feeney, who runs that company. And I just want to support his company. It's so great. So I use their herbs because the quality is amazing. And yeah, I think that getting back to that, you know, when you know a person you kind of can get a gist from them. You know, he's not a person that I could ever imagine compromising on stuff just to make a bit of extra money or to try to save some money on something. He's very ethical and he goes to the ends of the earth literally himself to select these products and find the best thing and do the right thing by our medicine. And this, what he does with the mushroom products is they grind the mushrooms into powder and they mix them with honey and make them into these honey pearls, which is the same way the Han Dynasty medicine was made when they said pills, like when they made a one, which is a pill, it would be actually the raw herbs ground to powder and then mixed with honey and rolled into a ball. Not what we think of pills these days where you have all these weird coatings on them and, you know, that sort of stuff. It was very much almost a food. So with these pill type of things, you just chew them up. So he calls them honey pearls, which is, makes sense because they're not really a pill. Like you don't swallow it down. You put it in your mouth, you chew it up. Anyway, they taste great. All the different things are there, the chaga and the reishi and the lion's mane and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, that's talking about how you can support the channel and also do that to support yourself. So again, I don't harp on with that stuff too much. I hope that I don't. I hope I don't harp on. I do. I have harped on in the past and people have told me to not do that, to get to the point. So I'm trying to do that more in the episodes. This is a relaxed one where you can just learn about how to learn about things. So that's one of the aspects of the channel. Okay, so there's a few random videos where I just answer people's questions and they're not really categorized into any particular category in there, except for just saying I usually put them in the category of, you know, answering subscribers' questions. But people do ask me questions that I think are strange sometimes, or oh, that's a bit one off, but then the video will get really popular because obviously other people are asking that same question as well, which is, you know, great. So there's a few things like that. Now I also have some about emotions and Chinese medicine, which is not directly the five elements system or anything like that. It's like, as in, it's not the five element personality types. It's just like, okay, what is joy in Chinese medicine? And there's a few, those ones, I started doing a series and I will finish that series, but that was the latest ones on Spotify and Apple, that we were talking about the emotions of wood and fire and earth and that kind of stuff. So there's some of those. Common Chinese medicine diagnoses that there's videos for includes things like obviously the qi deficiency, spleen qi deficiency, dampness, also blood deficiency. So if you're a female, blood deficiency is going to be a big part of the potential patterns of disharmony that happen to you. So there's some videos about the menstrual cycle. There's some videos about like hair falling out or different things about blood deficiency and diet. So veganism and blood deficiency, vegetarianism and blood deficiency. There's some kinds of foods and like they're kind of resources that you can kind of have like that. All right, I'm just scrolling through the channel to sort of see what I can tell you about. Okay, the other area that's an interesting area is I after a while of doing the channel, I realized there was quite a lot of students watching it. Especially first year students, right? They're just interested in stuff. So I created this like little series called Chinese Medicine Study Buddy. And I went through like what you would do in first year Chinese medicine school, talking about the spleen functions, kidney functions. So if you're in Chinese medicine school, you're still using Giovanni Macciocca, that textbook, and you're looking at, you know, what does the spleen do? You know, it transforms and transports food and fluids, and then talking about that, and you know, it opens into you know, those areas, or it controls the muscles and the four limbs, that kind of stuff. So for every organ, every yin organ, so spleen, liver, heart, kidney, lung, so forth, there's a video on those things. So if you're a student, start there. Now, I've also got some student tips. I've done lots of teaching of students. So there's videos about how to study Chinese medicine, how to do like exam and assignment tips. I've got some on, I've got one on there. It's a bit of an underrated video, actually, that one. but I also recently made one about, you know, if you're in final year Chinese medicine school, what should you be, what's the number one advice that I've got for you? That's a great one. And that just came out like last week. So there's those kinds of things. So if you're a student or first year Chinese medicine school, this would all be suitable for you because you're still at that level of like, okay, I want to know how to understand things, maybe from just another perspective and have someone else explain it to me. But if you're a student at fourth year, some of these things would be basic concepts, but having taught fourth year students, I know that sometimes those things can be still missed, right? And there's no shame in thinking, oh yeah, I missed that. I should have grasped that concept back in first year, but that's okay. I have some really much longer videos that are more like 40 minutes kind of thing about explaining a concept. So I've got Chinese medicine explains the thyroid problems. So that's looking at things from a five element perspective, like what organs and elements control these different things that might go out of balance when someone has hyperthyroidism, hypothyroidism, that kind of stuff. So there's heaps and heaps of videos there. And yeah, I hope that you enjoy the channel and that you're able to make use of it. So we have a lot of videos on there. Oh, I also have self-help acupressure videos. So I've got ones about how to stop travel sickness, how to do acupressure for neck pain, sciatica pain, stuff like that. Like, so if you're in acute pain, you want to just find some acupressure points to help. I've even done one about how to give a friend a massage, like how to give a friend a neck massage, something like that. So yeah. So I've just scrolled right down to the end of the channel now and I can see that it was 11 years ago when I started it. Wow. And yeah, times have changed and lots of things have happened, but Chinese medicine never changes. So those videos are still valid, still useful, and hopefully you can still find them useful and helpful to you. So finally, I just wanted to give you a bit of information about myself. So it's a bit of a synopsis about me because people do ask me about that. How did I get into Chinese medicine and how did I study it and all the rest of it? So I studied Chinese medicine right from a very young age. I was 17 in high school. I didn't know what I wanted to study. I think I have a longer video explaining this a bit on the channel, but I won't bore you with heaps of details. But it was just really strange. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly. And I literally picked acupuncture and Chinese medicine out of the book that you could choose for different subjects at uni. And I live in Perth, Western Australia, and at that time, this was back in 1997, there was no chiropractic course in Perth at a university. There was the only options at my Perth universities would have been psychology. I couldn't do Western medicine because I didn't have the grades to do that. And I hadn't really done well in maths and chemistry and things like that in the past. So I'd done my TE and, you know, I enrolled in these courses in Sydney and Melbourne in acupuncture and Chinese medicine at different universities there, and also got enrolled in psychology. And what ended up happening is I was offered the place in Victoria to go and do the course there. And so I put that on hold for a year because my mum was like, oh, I don't want you to really just, you know, leave at 17 and go and live in Victoria and I'll probably never see you again sort of thing. I think that's what she was thinking. And I was like, yeah, that would have loved nothing better than to just piss off, go and do my own thing because I'm very independent. And anyway, so we found a course in Perth at the same time that had opened up that had was starting that year going forward. A naturopath school that was starting a Chinese medicine course. And I had a chat with the dean of the school and all that there. And he said, look, if you start the Chinese medicine and you don't like it, you can switch over to being a naturopath really easily in that first 6 months, and gives you those options. The only downside was it was all upfront fees. So I had to pay everything upfront. There was no HEX or government loan system or anything like that. So it was very expensive. It's expensive. It's even more expensive now, but it was expensive at the time, like for the cost of living. Like, I remember constantly having to sell my car to pay the school fees, scrape up enough money to buy another old bommy car, then manage to sell that car. My parents helped out where they could, but they just didn't have, they weren't that financial. And, you know, it was more like I was just always, I don't know, hustling to get money somehow with little odd jobs and things that I would do. And also using my Austudy, I think I got Austudy from the government. My parents just let me live at home for free and I just used that Austudy money to pay the school fees. Like, it was really hard. It was not easy, but I got through it all. And I really loved Chinese medicine. I remember being in that class in the first day thinking, this is exactly what I want to do. I definitely want to do this. So I was really grateful to just stumble upon it, really. I'd never had acupuncture. I'd never had herbs. My parents thought I was going to be some kind of voodoo doctor or some witch doctor or something at one point. They probably thought I was going to be possessed by the devil in the beginning. But they kind of got over that when they realized it wasn't so much woo-woo. And I think I'm good at explaining Chinese medicine because it was always really foreign to me and I was like really curious, but I couldn't understand it properly for myself unless I really thought about it. And I was very fortunate in that first year to have an amazing teacher. I had some other teachers that were okay. They were kind of what you'd say in Chinese, mama hoo hoo, like so-so. But I had a couple of teachers that were really, really amazing and they were very good at explaining Chinese medicine and also making it clear that, okay, a Western person can practice this and make a good living out of it and model that to you. And it was, you know, they were quite successful in their practice. And so that's how I got into it. So I did my Chinese medicine course and as soon as I'd finished, I was pretty much teaching at a shiatsu school straight away. So there was a gap between that. So I finished that. I went to China for 3 months to do my internship. And again, I had to save all this money to get there, which was another story in itself. Like I by that point, I was teaching violin to violin and cello to students because that's kind of was my other thing. And I had 30 students a week that I was teaching. So I was making quite good money then. And I almost quit Chinese medicine school at the end because I thought, well, I'm making so much money doing this music teaching. Maybe I'll just keep doing this. This is great. Right? But as many schools do, you have hiccups with the school sometimes, you know, thing you had to wait 6 months to kind of, because some students had dropped out. There wasn't enough people to kind of continue it on. Anyway, so I ended up graduating and I worked for about a year doing my music teaching, a little bit of Chinese medicine stuff. But I didn't want to start my clinic because I knew I was going to take 3 months off and go to China. And I really had the option of either start up a business and work for myself or don't do Chinese medicine at all. There were no jobs. There was no locum work. There was nothing to speak of to sort of get a job in Chinese medicine. There weren't other practices. This is 1998. '97 when I started, 2001 when I graduated. I was fortunate that my teacher let me come and work at his clinic I used to go up to Fremantle one day a week and do a day a week there. And I did that for like 9 years and I loved doing that. But like he had created that opportunity for me. It wasn't like a pre-existing thing where there's heaps of clinics looking for practitioners as there are now, which is great. It means the industry is growing and it's all good. But so anyway, I saved up the money, 10 grand I needed to go to China. I went to China for 3 months. That was the best time of my whole life, I reckon. Like I can't explain how great it was. It was such a great time to be in China. 2001, I was in Hangzhou. I used to have this little bicycle that I bought for like 100 kuai, which was $20. And I just used to cycle it around all day and all night in between being in the hospital. It was such a carefree time. Like I can't think of any other time in my life where I just felt so good and I felt so carefree. And it was so intriguing. Like Chinese people at that point, it was very hard and I would feel very, the Chinese people were very, I should finish that sentence. So they were very open and they were very intrigued by me being there. And there wasn't that many Western people there at the time. And there wasn't many people that spoke English. And it was a very lonely time at times because like there was no phones then. I didn't have a mobile phone when I was there. Mobile phones were just getting started. And there was a lot of mobile phones everywhere in the hospital and people were getting them like little Motorola phones. But there was no iPhones back then. So it wasn't like there was no point in me having a mobile phone there because it was really expensive to call even overseas, or and I had no people to call in China. There was, you know, text messages had kind of just started at that point, right? Anyway, so I remember, you know, I'd cycle down to the internet cafe to kind of, you know, do my emails and things like that and to connect with people. And it was a great time. So that's, I don't want to make this thing too long-winded because you're probably not that interested. Anyway, so I did my 3 months in China and I came back, I started a business. And then I was pretty quickly immersed in teaching Chinese medicine at a small school that was teaching Shiatsu. So they got me to teach Tuina, Chinese massage, because that was one of my interest areas and something I'd studied a lot when I was in China. And I was pretty good at Tuina, which is the Chinese massage branch of Chinese medicine. And then I quickly realized I like teaching. My old teacher had got me to teach some classes at the college, you know, where I had studied. And I could see things changing very rapidly in the industry, that pretty soon it was going to become more formal training, like as in these things were going to become more of a degree rather than a diploma. So I'd graduated with a diploma, not a degree. And to be able to have that degree, to teach a degree, you need a degree higher than what you've taught. So I went and studied international health at Curtin University. So I did a master's degree in international health. And the reason why I did that was, like, the first reason was I just needed another degree greater than what I had so that I could do teaching and something I was remotely interested in. So the options were very limited because there weren't any colleges sort of doing master's degrees in Chinese medicine in my local area. And so the other option would be flying to Sydney regularly, which was something that my teacher had kind of done. And so I was like, okay, I'll do this degree here. And what was great about it is I learned a lot of public health. I learned people do that degree in international health because they want to either work for an NGO, they want to work for the WHO, they want to work for the UN, that kind of thing. They want to do philanthropic kind of things or understand how to do public health in international health settings and understand those things. So it was really a great eye-opener, actually, into that whole world of things. And this is also around the time, 2006, before any of that stuff had become politicized. So talking about that now, I mean, if you mention the WHO, a lot of people have a real, you know, different views of it, negative views of it and so forth, and rightly so, because, you know, people have had that shoved in their face for the last few years with the other stuff that's gone on. But at that point, you know, it was kind of all theoretical ideas, not stuff that was being implemented in a draconian sense for people at all, right? So anyway, I've got that degree in international health. And then I started teaching more and more at the college where I trained. That college closed down and went broke, basically. And then I started teaching at another college in Perth that had kind of emerged here. And I stopped teaching for a while between sort of 2008 and 2012. I think it was around that time because my business was so busy. And I had a very busy clinic. I expanded. I had multiple beds going with acupuncture patients. I had 3 or 4 practitioners working there. I had 9 different staff that, you know, were there was only one at a time, but at any, you know, for that period of time, I had 9 girls on my books that would come in and do reception and retail, and it was just a lot to manage. And I enjoyed that, but I think around that time I was kind of getting a little bit bored with Chinese medicine, because I was getting great results with people, but I was seeing a lot of the same things, a lot of back pain, a lot of fertility things. And I started getting interested in going to China more and more because I had a retail shop. I've become really great friends with my neighbors next door through that, going to China with them a few times, and just got more and more interested in business and retail and creating products in that. And I'm a very creative person, right? So I need this kind of stimulation of this area. And that's what I'd done. So I was focusing on all that, and I had to move from that place. I had to close down my retail shop eventually. But I'd had that retail store that was in clothing and homewares, so nothing in, about Chinese medicine. And then I had a Chinese medicine based health retail shop, but I still have that now, and sell those products online. I also have a small store that I've opened up in Perth as well now. I don't want to get too long-winded about my story, but that's what I've done. And along that journey, I was at the point where I can remember being a bit disillusioned with Chinese medicine. Like, it was great, but it wasn't like, oh, this is the love of my life and I'm so excited about it. And my old teacher came back to me one day and he said, oh, look, this course is starting up again. I've done this. And I hadn't seen him for years, really. I mean, you see him every so often, but, you know, we hadn't connected for a while. And so I hadn't really been, didn't know he'd changed his whole style, and he'd gone and learned this new system, which is what I do now, the ICEAM stuff. And he'd changed all of what he does, but does basically in herbs. And he was like, well, this has revolutionized what I do. It's a totally different way of understanding Chinese medicine. You've got to do this course when it opens up in Australia again. So that was around 2016 or 17, I think 2016. So I started this thing of going to Sydney 3 times a year, doing this course. I went even more times because there was other like clinic pulse days and stuff to go to. And so it was kind of 3 years of that, and that was super expensive but super valuable at the same time, and that really changed my practice. And then I got really interested in Chinese medicine again, and because I was able to see patients with really a lot of different conditions that I couldn't work out how to treat, or I never would have gone down that road with herbs with patients, such serious things wrong. So the system of herbs I practice now is kind of, yeah, it's very fulfilling because there's lots of avenues to keep on studying and keep getting better at doing it. So that's where I'm at now. And I've worked at different clinics, locations. I've had many, many leases. I've got a new premises that I'm in now. I've been here for 2 years. And I've kind of gone the full circle with my practice where it's just me. And so I can just focus on, one patient at a time kind of thing. I might grow it bigger again. Who knows? Like, we'll see what happens. But I'm happy doing what I'm doing now. And also about probably 4 years ago, after I'd closed up the retail shop, I'd been getting into the swing of things through my new course. So I'd been doing that for about 3 or 4 years. So this would have been, 2016 was when I started the course. 2018 was when it finished, I think. 2019, there was a couple more seminars to go to, and then the pandemic happened. And just before that, 2019, I started recording music. I joined a little band, and we were doing gigs, live gigs, and I hadn't done that for ages. Like, music's always been something that I've been interested in. And I really got into the idea of like, okay, well, I've got all these song ideas that I could do. And I've always been interested in writing songs, and I was always thinking I could write a song. So I started doing that. And then next thing you know, I found a producer that I really liked, and opened the door for me to kind of go, okay, I can explore this opportunity and actually write the music that I want to write. And I started to grow the music business. So that's what I do now. I kind of do, I'd say a third of my time I spend on my music and my music business, and two thirds of my time I spend on Chinese medicine. And within that, the two thirds of my time on the Chinese medicines, you know, some of that's on study so I can get better at this system that I do. Some of that is on seeing patients. Some of that is on doing stuff for the podcast, like recording things and making content. Some of that is on seeing patients in face-to-face, and some of that's on seeing patients overseas. So I've got the great life now that I want, I guess, because I've got the variety, and I feel fulfilled from all that sort of stuff. So I hope this hasn't been too long-winded and boring for you. I don't really put this kind of thing out all the time. It's such a personal story or whatever, but people do want to know this stuff. So I may even cut this thing up into a separate one about how did I get into Chinese medicine and my story. But yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this, and certainly how to navigate the podcast is, you know, I think that's needed when you come to this sort of stuff and you think, oh, where do I start? What do I do? So the other way you can start is just find something that's a topic that's of interest to you and start listening and see if it's right for you. So I hope you're having a great rest of the day or evening, and I wish you well in your journey. You can support the podcast by subscribing to YouTube, giving us a review on Spotify, following us on Spotify, writing an Apple review. All those things help. And you can also check the link in the description of this episode for ways that you can either get some of those mushroom products from Empirical Health with the code Marie, M-A-R-I-E, or you can get a course for yourself from the courses that I do, and support yourself and support the podcast. So thank you very much, and I look forward to helping you on another episode soon.